question here from Christy, listening in Carrollton, Illinois, on the Covenant Network. Christy, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Tim?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. It's kind of a three-part question that all deal with the sexual act of marriage that I was presented with today by a non-Catholic. So where in the Bible does it say that marriage has to come before children?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Second part, if a non-married man and woman engage in the sexual act, which is to seal the covenant of marriage, are they considered married?
I can't.
And the third part.
Hey, Christy, you know, I have to jump in because I have to tell you this anecdote of what you're saying right now. Now, by the way, was this person a Protestant, or you say he was an atheist?
Non-Catholic.
Just a non-Catholic,
he
but a Christian?
At the Catholic grade school, and we were at a Catholic religion conference today, and she asked me this, and I was like,
okay,
I don't know.
Okay, great. All right, give me your third part, because this is going to be fun.
Okay. Okay, if their actions result in a baby, was that act holy, because God gave them a child?
Right, gotcha. Okay. Well, first of all, I have to tell you, Christy, years ago when I was a Protestant minister, I had a fellow come to me in my congregation who asked me this very question. And to give you the backstory, because he had fallen into sin with his girlfriend, and he read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, you know, where St. Paul says, shall we, you know, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, shall you take the temple of God, make it one with a prostitute, and all of that. And then he cites Genesis 2:24, for the two shall be one flesh, referring to fornication, right? And so my friend says, Tim, it says right there, the two shall be made one flesh in the case of fornication. So that's not fornication, that's marriage. Oh, my gosh, I think I'm married. And Christy, I tell you, I am not kidding with you. I laughed at him, and then I said,
it is a serious question.
It is.
Yeah, we've all heard of people who have, you know, conceived a child out of wedlock and then said, you know, I must make this right by getting married. But simply conceiving a child is not necessarily grounds for a valid marriage, of course.
Yes, but there's nothing in the Bible to tell you this.
True.
The Bible does not have, Christy, what we call the canonical form for marriage. This is our Catholic tradition. There's nothing in the Bible that explicitly gives you instructions. Okay, you have a ratified marriage when you exchange vows in the presence of a bishop, priest, or deacon. That's not there. That's Catholic tradition. And then at the consummation, that ratified union becomes consummated. That's Catholic tradition. So here's the key. I got stumped by this guy in my church, and I said to him, hey, bro, look, you got to come to the church. We got to marry you, man. You're not married. But he challenged me, show me that in the Bible, and I couldn't do it. We did eventually bring him to church, and we married him, but he believed he was married from the time they had conjugal relations. All right. Now, can we give Christy a biblical foundation? Sure we can. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 32, St. Paul describes the sacrament of holy matrimony, and he compares it. In fact, he describes it as a sacramental manifestation of the love of Christ for his church. He explains how that Christ gave himself to his bride spiritually, even to the point of dying for her. And then, of course, he gives himself bodily to her as well, just as we do in our marriage. So we can imply from Ephesians chapter 5 that before you can give yourself bodily to your bride, you have to give yourself spiritually to your bride. Now, does
there has
Paul
to be consent?
That's right. Yep. There has to be consent. But Paul doesn't give the details. He presupposes the tradition that you have to do this publicly before witnesses and be married by a validly ordained member of the clergy in order for it to be valid. Now, Jesus also, in Matthew chapter 19, right around verse 6, he quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 as well, which talks about leaving and cleaving, and the two shall be one flesh. So we can imply there, you must leave family, cleave to your bride, and the two will be one flesh. And then Jesus goes on to describe this union as absolute, cannot be dissolved. All right. So all we can do, Christy, is show you have to make this absolute commitment until death do us part. There's no divorce and remarriage anyway. There are possible grounds for divorce, but you can never be remarried. But when it comes to the form of marriage and how we have to be in the presence of deacon, priest, bishop, and that sort of thing, that comes from our tradition. And really, Christy, this is an example of many of why we need more than the Bible.
Absolutely.
We need the church, which tells us, first of all, what the Bible is, because we wouldn't know which books of the Bible are the Bible without the church. And then secondly, tells us what the Bible means.
Yeah, and it's not the New Testament is not a how-to-do church manual.
That's right.
You know, there wasn't a code of canon law attached to the New Testament books. So, yeah, that's a very, very important point to make there, Tim. We need
Thanks for your call, though, Christy.